Please be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. What happened to January? Here we are today. It is the sixth day of February already. It's only 28 days in February. So that means we got 22 to make the most of for God here. So we can say February was successful. So in Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Him, you servants of the Lord. You who serve in the Lord's temple, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the courtyard of the temple of our God. Verse 3, praise the Lord because He is good. Is He good? Is He God? Who is He? Good God Almighty. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. And praise Him when the sun goes down. Now back to verse 3. Praise the Lord because He is good. Praise His name because He brings such joy. Such joy. Our praise ushers in the very presence of God. And in His presence is fullness of joy. That is His word. That is Psalm 16, verse 11. Now, in Psalm 134, verse 2, it says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Let me say that this way. Lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and give thanks to the Lord. When we give thanks to the Lord, that is praising Him. When you wake up in the morning, how do you start it out? Some people start their day grumbling about how tired they are and how they don't want to go to work or expecting things to go just as they always have. Now, that's the kind of day. Well, they choose incorrectly. And what happens next? They start speaking negatively about the day before it even starts. Wonder why your day goes the way it goes for you sometimes? Right here. It's right there. Now, this was an add-in. If you are not getting restful sleep, it is because you are full of worry, anxiety, and way too many concerns brought on by the world. You all are focused on the world rather than the Lord. Spend time with the Lord in prayer and in His Word before bed. It will put your mind and thoughts on Him. Try it. You might like the results. See, I should put that infomercial on, huh? You want a good night's rest? Try prayer and the Word. Because the Word works. Hallelujah. I try to get a little bit more excitement. Y'all probably saying, I've never been in a church like this. Yeah? Well, you also probably never seen a pastor like this. And believe me, some of you who knew me before are saying, yeah. He's a pastor now? Okay. I'm telling you what. God can do miraculous wonders and works. I'm just telling you. When you wake up in the morning, start it by giving thanks to the Lord. Be thankful for every day you have. Because every day is shorter and comes to an end. Make the most of it. Make the most of your relationships with your loved ones. Be thankful when you wake up in the morning. Whew. I pray comfort upon you, my brother. Chet, my heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to you. Be thankful. And he will tell you that. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us be full of joy and be glad in it. That is Psalm 118, verse 24. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let's be glad in it. I mean, be happy. Thanksgiving to God is the way to start your day. Thanksgiving in the Bible means to respond to God's goodness and grace with a heart of gratitude. This will produce in you a good attitude for the day. Having a heart of thanksgiving to God means that we continually thank Him for everything. You heard me right, everything. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. 16 through 18. So that's 16, 17, 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What do we need to give thanks in?
Everything.
I said in. Thankfulness should characterize our life in every circumstance. Not thanks for everything, but thanks in everything. Click. Some light bulbs just went on. We shouldn't just thank Him when things go well. We should also be thanking Him through the struggles that we will inevitably go through in life. The story of Daniel, a young Jew, brought as a captive from Jerusalem to Babylon at the age of 12. You know what a 12-year-old's like? Okay. Now, all I can think of is my grandson, because I can relate to that. Okay, well, anyhow, Daniel becomes one of the wise men in King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. 12 years old. Then crisis comes. When the king, he has a dream. And he's troubled by the dream. And as strange as it may seem, he expected the wise men to come up with the dream and the interpretation. A lot of times people can tell you the dream and then somebody will interpret it. No. He wanted them to tell me my dream and tell me the interpretation of that dream. If not, when he told his wise men, he says, you will face the death penalty. Literally said, I will chop them up into pieces. What the Bible says. Can you imagine? This is in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar. So, how old's Daniel now? Oh, 14, right? Huh? Won't you think he'd be scared? Okay. One thing going for him, Tim, but God. But God answered Daniel's and his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He answered their prayer, and he revealed the dream and its interpretation to Daniel while Daniel was resting peaceably. He was sleeping. He was taking a nap. And God gives it to him in what the Bible calls a night vision. Let me just tell you right here, though. It pays to have partners who will pray with you. He didn't go to anybody else. See, you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's not their names. Those are the names given to them by King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, you'll never hear him called by the name they gave him. He continued to be called and known as Daniel through the writing. So Daniel gets this interpretation, wakes up, and what's the very first response? He immediately gives thanks. He immediately gives thanks with a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, 23, Daniel says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the seasons." Climate change, who do you think controls it? What we're going through is natural phases of the earth. Now, this climate change things and all the things they're putting out, a bunch of baloney. They really are. Go back and look at history and through time. So what they do to us through the news media, and they've convinced us with year after year after year after year, we got global warming. Well, I don't see no global warming in January. And it started in February, not too hot either. Praise God. Verse 21. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. Oh, you who sit in the White House, be aware. He removes kings. And he establishes kings who should be there. All hope is not lost, folks. He gives wisdom to the wise and greater knowledge to those who have understanding. If we listen, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. Yeah, he reveals those hidden things. Boy, have things been hidden from us, have they not? He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells within him. His light exposes everything. It has been exposing more and more and more to us. Some people have said, that's not true. Well, it is true. Look around. Look around what's been happening. We've been in the darkness for so long, but God's been bringing light to everything for us to see and to get back on track with Him. With Him. But Daniel goes on to say, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the solution to the king's matter. God is the solutionist, the solver of all problems. Anything that we face, he's got the solution. That's why he said he is the solutionist. When you got a situation, go to the man who has the answers. That's God. Hallelujah. Of course, he isn't man, but he sent his son to become man so that he could identify with us. That way he has that bond. He can say, I identify with what y'all are going through. He wanted to feel what you feel. That's why he sent his son. Daniel thanked God in response to the answered prayer. Don't we all do the same thing when we have an answered prayer? Mm-hmm. How about when things don't go that well? Are we still giving thanks? That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's what the Bible told us. In everything. Daniel faced that situation a little later in his life. It happened during the reign of King Darius. When Daniel had to face a royal mandate that everyone should only pray to the king, no one else. And that all come about because of envy and jealousy of the others. They were going against Daniel. They didn't know they were going against God when they had the king come up with a mandate for the people. When the king's order curbing the freedom of prayer, a mandate was announced. You know, there was a mandate announced that we had to shut down. Cold, you got to shut down. Then we came back later and we said, what are we doing? What are we doing? They're taking all freedom to gather together in the house of the Lord. Some had services outside any way they could. And then the church, the ecclesia, woke up, said, hey, no more. Who says we're not essential? We are more essential than the grocery store, I'm telling you. Because if he had to feed you, he would bring it to your door. He has delivery servers, they call ravens. And if not, he just rain it down from heaven. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, amen. But Daniel, he calmly and deliberately continued to pray and to thank his God openly every day as he always had. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the mandate was signed, he went into his house. Now in his roof chamber, his windows were open towards Jerusalem. He continued to get down on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. They weren't going to stop him. They shouldn't stop us either. Amen. Daniel was set up, obviously. But as the story goes, Daniel was caught. He was caught by King Nebuchadnezzar's FBI, who raided his quarters and took him away in handcuffs so that everybody else could see. No matter how high his position was, or what the people thought of him, he wasn't going to get away with that. So they cuffed him. And they took all his paperwork and files with them, just so they could prove this. Uh-huh. And they turned him in to the prosecutors. And without due process, he was punished for being true to his beliefs by being thrown into the lion's den. And God miraculously rescued him. Wow. What courage to be thankful and to be true to his convictions, even when things didn't go his way. See, God turned it all around, and his accusers became the feast of the day for the hungry lions who hadn't eaten all night. See, they had developed a locked jaw overnight. When are people going to realize you do not touch the anointed of God?
Amen.
They will pay. You do not get away with touching the anointed of God. I'm telling you. It pays to thank him in the morning and thank him in the noontime and thank him when the sun goes down. See, his praise should continually be on our lips. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. So we can never say thank you enough, and especially to God. When thanksgiving becomes an integral part of our lives, we will find that our attitude toward life will change. We will become more positive, more gracious, more loving, and more humble. There goes that stinking pride, brother, right out the window. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And that is steadfast love, that is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, love. You have, that is Old Testament love, and then you have agape in the New Testament. Maybe we'll do a little teaching on that. But that's what that is, steadfast love. God's love, and it comes because of a covenant. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Are you redeemed? Well, then say so. You've been redeemed from the enemy. The enemy has no power over you. None whatsoever. If he does, it's because you're letting him. Don't let him. Do not let him have power over you. Because the first place he takes power over you is in your head. He starts to convince you of things that are not true. The word for thanksgiving in the Hebrew is Y-A-D-A-H, pronounced Yada. In the Old Testament, it means, are you ready for this? Give thanks. To raise one's hands in worship to God in gratitude. I think this is going to enlighten you more to when you're raising your hands and they're extended. I'm not saying raising your hands. I'm saying raising your hands, you know. Get them going. Ah, Jesus. When we are praying and worshiping in any situation, we can lift our hands in praise and give thanks to God. When we lift our hands to God in prayer or song, we are releasing the Holy Spirit, showing him we adore him, and we are saying, God, I am open to you and a touch from your very presence. We are worshiping and exalting him for who he is. He is our creator. He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Psalm 95, verse 2. Throughout the Bible, it shows us scriptures of the strength and power that comes through our fingers and our hands and our arms. Fingers. Our fingers are a symbol of strength and power in our prayer, praise, and worship. Look at what God did with His fingers. Deuteronomy 9, verse 10. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. God wrote on stone tablets. And it wasn't like on a blackboard. That's awesome. How do you sign for anything nowadays? They give you a tablet. A tablet, and you sign on it. So God invented that. You know, I don't know why a man's trying to take it, you know. He wrote on tablets before they ever thought of that. John 8:3. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus, he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he didn't hear them. Here, Jesus used his finger to convict people of their sin and set a woman free from sin. Woo! Psalm 8:3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And when it comes to His word in Proverbs 7, it says, bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. When you are raising up the hands, we are also extending out our fingers. Our fingers. God gave us commands through His fingers. Makes a little bit different when you're lifting them up, huh? Because you don't do this, do you? No. You do this. What we are releasing into the spiritual atmosphere by raising our hands and extending our fingers is powerful. It's powerful. Hands. Hands are a very important tool in our Christian walk. We fold them and we open them up while we pray. We lay hands on others to heal the sick, and we extend them for a handshake or hug, as Christians do. You know, if you come to me, I want to give you one of these. You know. But that's what we do. In Psalm 144, verse 1, praise and thanks be to the Lord, my rock. He makes my hands ready for war and my fingers for battle. Ooh. Right here, God is training our hands for war and our fingers for battle. raising our hands is warfare worship. What if raising our hands in praise to the Lord, we are binding the enemy and releasing the praise to combat the attacks? What if by raising our hand, we could lift those burdens and heaviness and enter into the presence of Almighty God? Well, we can. What is a big question, isn't it? What are we expecting ourselves to do? How about don't worry about what you? How about letting the Holy Ghost in you do that? By raising our hands, it does this. It lifts burdens. It releases His glory into the atmosphere to combat demonic attacks. I got my sister going, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right there, you know what I thought of? Every praise. Oh, yeah. Helps to enter into His presence. Helps to enter into His presence. Listen, Moses' hands were used to win a war in Exodus 17:11. And so it was when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. Yep. I thought my two guys would be jumping up right at that point in time. Okay. And they put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and the other one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and the victory was won. I'm telling you. Moses' hands were used to combat physical war and spiritual war. We can be victorious by lifting our hands and arms in worship. Now, arms. As we raise our fingers and hands, we are also lifting our arms. God designed everything to work together. And even our arms have significance when we raise them in praise to the Lord. Fully extended. Boy, that brings relief. I'm telling you. Now, regarding Samson, in Judges 15:14, says, when he came to Lehi, after they had arrested him and bound him, the Philistines came shouting against him. He's all bound up. His arms are tied. He's helpless, right? Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke free from his hands. Here the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Isaiah 11:2, it states that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Ain't nothing holding your arms down. See, I want the Spirit of the Lord to rest mightily upon each and every one of you. The full power of His Holy Spirit comes by the laying on of hands. So when you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But to get full power, it's called the laying on of hands. And that's a whole nother teaching, but that's what you look in Acts, what happened. When they started preaching, and they asked them about the Holy Spirit on them, and they said, "We haven't heard nothing about the Holy Spirit." "Well, it's in you, but let's increase it now." And he prayed and laid hands. Woo, there was power that day, I'm just telling you. Mountains were moved. Strongholds were broken. People were set free. They were set free. Jesus took the children up in his arms. And he blessed them. Mark 10, verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. That is what the scripture says. Jesus used every part of himself to bless the children. His physical body to hold them. His spirit and soul. His emotions and the authority of his word to bless them. Wow. When we raise our hands and give thanks to him, it will set us free. I remember the first time the Holy Spirit called me to raise my hands. I was in church where everyone was doing it. I kind of felt this tugging on me, like, I should. But see, I was intimidated. What are others going to say? You know? Is he holy, or is that, what's that make me? Or, you know, I don't know anything about just lifting up my hands. Surrender unto him, worship to him. Did I do it? Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. And I've never turned back. How's it go, brother? Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. When I got saved to the bone, to my very core. When I do things, I do it either 100% or I don't do it. And when I come to God, I am so glad that I chose to take His Son into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Well, let me just say, you know, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And try something different in worship. After all, we were created to worship Him. See, everyone enters worship differently. But why not open your spirit to His leading? Whatever He calls you to try and do, it will make a difference. It will set you free. There's power. There's power to be received when you lift your hands to the Lord. You know, I wasn't going to do this, but I can literally feel. I can feel the power. I mean, if you just raise your hands. Just raise your hands. And if you're really seeking God in His presence, you'll feel it. You'll feel the identity. Let me share with you something that's pretty awesome. See, we're in a covenant relationship with the Lord. Okay. Now, and it's a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, think of that in the tribes years back and that, and probably some of you have seen us in movies. Well, anyhow, when one family, say these ones were farmers, and they were great farmers. And then this tribe here was the warriors. Okay? Now, the warriors couldn't do gardening to save their behinds. But they could fight off any enemy. Now, the farmers, they could grow enough food. They could put it in the storage. They made so much food. But they couldn't defend themselves. So the two got together and they made a covenant. They made a blood covenant with one another. And how they did it back then was they literally cut the palms of their hand and they dripped it into wine. So each one did that. Then they drank. They each drank half of that, signifying they had a blood covenant. Then they purposely took dirt and rubbed it on those cuts, those incisions, to make sure that they left a scar. Okay? The significance of that is when they would be out in areas and they would see someone from over there in a grouping, and they says, Looks like I know him. So what they would do, lift up their hand with that scar and like that. And if that one looked back over, he'd go, I know that. Yeah. And they identified with one another through the scars. When you lift up your hands like this to heaven, Jesus is lifting up His hands with the scars. He's identifying with you. You have a covenant with Jesus. I thought that was pretty awesome. So each time I lift my hands to Him, I see Him lifting them back to me. And it's like, wow. Wow. Now listen, if you have never made Jesus your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. Because it was pressed upon my heart to do this. Because, see, I don't know all of you, and I don't know where you all stand. See, and I don't want you not going to heaven. I want to make sure you're going to heaven. I said I want to make sure. Because by doing what we're going to do right here, guarantees you to go to heaven. So when somebody asks you, are you going to heaven or hell? You can say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, we can change that from I hope so to you knowing so. How hard is that, Pastor? It's a simple prayer. It's so simple that millions of people stumble over it. It's a prayer that you say from your heart because that's what the Bible tells us. And that's all it is a simple prayer. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made Jesus your Lord or just want to get back on track, you just raise your hand to God. And you say this with me. Say, oh God in heaven, thank you for giving Jesus to me. I know that I have sinned before you. Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, was placed in the grave, and in 3 days arose from the grave, ever living to make intercession for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. Amen. You are guaranteed, if you said that prayer from your heart, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Makes a big difference when you raise your hands now, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Well, I thank you all. And all right, Roy, you can shut that one down, and we're